Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
we had!
We had!
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. Just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Lover of Law.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic, as always. Wow, what a show do we have coming up. On one of my favorite topics, it's about drugs. Because as fans of the show may not know, I'm actually on high blood pressure medication, so I don't know what else you guys are thinking of. But speaking of drugs, please let me turn it over to one of the main members of the crew that was always our good friend because he was always the designated driver. Ronnie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. We headed back out to the left coast again. We're going to bring L.A. Trey in a second, but we've got our girl, Holly Lowe Jones, friend of the program. She's back with us to talk about PEDs. Good, bad, immoral, not immoral, all over the scope about their use, the harm, or maybe the harm they don't do. But before we bring her into the conversation, always out there somewhere between Los Angeles and San Francisco, it's my main man, L.A. Trey. Trey, what's happening, man?
What is going on, my brothers? Four horsemen back at it again. I'm going to go with another four. We're like the Ninja Turtles of this game. We're like ninja assassin mutant beasts that just kick behind and take names on everything that's sports and hip-hop related. Let's get this thing started.
Guys, I feel like this is the Just Say Yes episode from our pre-show meeting. So without any further ado, let's welcome back to the show one of our favorites, triathlete, marathoner, fitness expert, all of the above, and more, Holly Lowe Jones. Holly, how you doing?
What's up, fellas? I'm so happy to be back talking to you guys. I think you guys are awesome, and I love the topic of the day. PED use is such a hot button issue right now, so I'm very excited to talk about it, and I'm doing great. I'm in Las Vegas actually right now, so just enjoying this warm weather.
Holly, we're always happy to have you on, and if you're in Vegas, we're pretty sure there's lots of drugs floating around that place. So so let's talk about the ones as it relates to sports and performance. So before the show, we talked about just where we kind of stood on the matter of PEDs. So I think it would be great if everyone just gave a quick 30-second take on performance-enhancing drugs, yes, no, anything in between, just sort of lay out the basis for the conversation. D, where do you stand?
Yeah, let me just jump right on into this. Let me ask a very tough question, and this is about availability. I know you're a big workout buff, a fitness buff, you know, You do the triathlons, and I'm lucky to, you know, just do three things in one given day. But I know that I live in a state where marijuana isn't legal. There are some states now where it's legal, but where I'm at, I know how to get an illegal drug. If you are in the workout industry, do you know how to get performance-enhancing drugs, which are quote-unquote illegal or against the rules in the major sports? Is this something that a professional athlete would have any problem acquiring if they wanted to do so?
It is totally readily available, even though it is illegal. You know, anybody from your regular bodybuilder, competitive bodybuilder to an athlete definitely has access to these drugs. Specifically, anabolic steroids are so they claim, smuggled in, you know, to the United States. So they're available for use for pretty much anybody. And they are used by professional athletes and, you know, celebrities and just your average fitness buff.
Holly, my stance on the PD issue is that this is no longer like 1987 when it was pretty much, you know, sleazy, you know, needle in the butt in the bathroom stall or big horse pill that made you super swole. Like, PED to me has so much of a broader definition these days because there's just so many ways to use them, and not all of them are bad. My stance has always been the training is too hard, the seasons are too long, and they're strictly for just the maintenance of the body. How PEDs can really help. You're a person who does triathlons big time in the fitness, and some days I'm pretty sure your body just does not feel good. Talk about how PED, or one of the definitions of what a PED is, and how it can really help as far as just maintaining this machine that is the human body.
Right. So that is a good question. What constitutes performance-enhancing drugs? I think that is it's such a complex topic because you have all these different organizations that determine what's considered a performance-enhancing drug. But specifically, we know anabolic steroids is popular, and that is essentially a synthetic drug. It's synthetic male hormone. So, and, you know, it's injected. And then the other very popular one is HGH, human growth hormone, which is more difficult to detect. So those are the two popular ones. And they would do everything for you from helping you to get lean to actually making you faster and stronger, also decreasing your recovery time. So they benefit an athlete in many, many different ways. So that's why people use them. I personally have never used them, but I find the topic fascinating because, first of all, the article that I wrote on Yahoo, it's gotten 9,000 views since I wrote it, and I am advocating in the article that perhaps performance-enhancing drugs should be made legal. Now, the truth about this article is that I was assigned to write about that. It was an assignment, so I'm still conflicted on whether or not it should actually be legal, but I would have to say I'm leaning towards yes, I think it should be.
Let me jump back in here then and perhaps set up Trey, and I know how he's going to approach this topic, but if you feel that they do nothing but help, if you have easy access to them, if you feel that performance-enhancing drugs, be they steroids or HGH or whatever, are not an issue, then as an athlete, as somebody who is concerned about their own fitness, why don't you use them?
I can't say that it's not an issue or a concern. It is. Anabolic steroids in particular are very dangerous and can be very dangerous. HGH, I can't necessarily say, you know, what the dangers are involved in that. And there are other drugs that fall under the doping category that are not necessarily dangerous if they were to be used under a doctor's instruction and guidance. I think that they become more dangerous because it's being done covertly and not necessarily under a doctor's instruction. And, you know, there's no research going into the production of a lot of these drugs because people are trying to produce them illegally. So there's a lot of variables there, and it can be very dangerous. And I don't know. I would never want to put an anabolic steroid in my body personally. The negative side effects that are involved, I wouldn't want those. And again, I do think that unless it was legalized, I don't think that it's fair, so to speak. So you have the fairness issue, and then you have the health risk issue. And that's essentially why the DEA, you know, has determined that they're illegal, if it's for the safety reasons. Then you have the World Anti-Doping Agency, and the two reasons that they determine that's illegal are because it could be potentially dangerous and that it gives the player an unfair advantage. So those are two different issues when you're talking about performance enhancing drugs.
Well, Holly, my stance on this is more so from a quantitative standpoint. I think that people like to talk about performance-enhancing drugs, and they look at the size of someone's body or how it changes or just some of the, I guess, the physical characteristics. But when I look at it from just a numbers perspective, I don't think I've ever seen anything that definitively says that this drug can increase your performance by this much, you know, specifically. And because it works differently for every single person, there's no way to determine, I guess, more definitively what the increase in performance is for any one athlete. So until that is a little bit more narrowly defined, what is your take on the fact that just letting everybody take everything or make everything available to everyone? That way you have a level playing field by having an open playing field when it comes to what people can put into their bodies.
Right. Well, that's what the argument is made. That is the exact argument that's being made by many, is that, you know, if the rules were changed and performance-enhancing drugs were made legal and everybody had the same access, would it become unethical or unfair? It is also it would be up to the athlete. Perhaps some athletes wouldn't want to participate in that. And it is hard to quantify just how much it would help one person versus another. I think, though, if everyone were allowed to take performance-enhancing drugs with the guidance of a doctor, that it would definitely promote equality amongst the athletes.
Once again, thank you for coming to the show. As far as PEDs are concerned, I think the main issue outside of the major elephant in the room being health is the spirit of competition. And if you introduce a foreign substance that your body did not naturally create on its own into an environment where all things are supposed to remain equal, then I think that you're going to give some people edges that may not have the edge that they were, that was their God-given talent. So, and I think there is a way to maybe quantify the results of people doping or using PEDs. I remember, I want to say his name was Ben Johnson. He was a 100 sprinter. And I remember he blew out the field, like totally embarrassed by Carl Lewis in the 100. And they found out that he was using PEDs. And they stripped his record. And if I remember right, the record that he made while he was on those drugs was a record that probably wasn't broken until within the past 10 years. It was like a standing record for a really long time. So I do think when you're dealing with sports that deal with like pure strength on a level like that, then yeah, I think that can give somebody the edge. And if you're going to give somebody the edge and allow somebody to use performance enhancing drugs, there's no way to make it all equal, because everybody's going to have some different form or variation of these performance-enhancing drugs to give themselves even much more of an edge. The only way that I can think of to battle that is to eliminate them all together. So what part of that theory has a hole? Because I, for one, would love to see everybody kind of juiced up a little bit, but there's no way to equal the playing field. How would you get around that?
Well, I'm not really sure that the playing field would be equal without, you know, if you took PEDs out of the equation. For example, there's a huge variation in what athletes earn, okay? So if you have one athlete that can train for part of the year in higher altitudes, which can enhance athletic ability, or let's say NBA players who may invest, or athletes, period, that may invest in hyperbaric chambers to duplicate what the same training they could do in higher altitudes, those things are extremely expensive. So higher technology in an effort to enhance performance. That's a universal goal, I think, and a natural behavior of someone who's really, really competitive. They want to be the best that they can be. And all athletes don't have the same access to everything. All athletes don't make the same amount of money. So even if PEDs were taken out of the equation, who's to say that it's an equal level playing field for you know, all professional athletes?
Sip the Dom P, watching Gandhi till I'm charged. Writing in my book of rhymes, all the words past the margin. The whole of mic a throbbing, mechanical movement. Understandable, smooth, issue that murderers move with. The thieves theme, play me at night, they won't act right. A fiend of hip hop, it's got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins I'm embracing, wipe the sweat off my dome, spit the phlegm on the street. And the Nikes on my feet, keep my cipher complete. Weather cruising in a six cab, a Montero deep, I can't call it. Beats make me falling asleep, I keep falling. Never falling 6 feet deep. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for presidents to represent me. I'm out for dead presidents to represent me. The world is yours, disciple of the project, slash verbal murderer. Yeah, the world is yours, till the Philly bluntheads crack pumping.
Ships of an alien sorcerer approaching from the sky. Radio contact has been attempted but cannot be attacked.
Holly, I wanted to get your take on some of the regulatory agencies or some of the governing bodies, if you will. Do you have a problem with how any one or two of these agencies do their testing, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NFL, the international organizations like the Olympics? Do you have any leanings one way or the other on maybe procedures that you like or things that you don't like in terms of how athletes are tested, or I guess maybe even with how they're informed about what is or is not legal per the testing time or the certain time frame? So give us your thoughts on how you look at how the testing side of things is administered, and if you have anything about that you like or really dislike.
Well, I have to tell you guys that after doing the research for this issue, it seems to be a mess to me, and I really don't know how we're going to get out of it. You have the WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, and they oversee drug testing all around the world. I prefer to, you know, always talk about football because that's my favorite thing. So one thing that I found fascinating, I'll say, is that the NFL – you know, has been in an ongoing battle with them. They don't really participate. The NBA really, really doesn't participate with the World Anti-Doping Agency. They kind of just ignore them. But what you have happening is the WADA continues to go after these leagues, the NFL, the NBA, et cetera, et cetera. So, and their main issue with these leagues is that the testing is so vague and that there's not enough transparency with these leagues. So, and because I'm kind of on the fence about the topic, I certainly can't say that I have an issue with it. I totally get it. I think that I really think that it's probably encouraged within the league and in some parts of the league, and they would just prefer to, and I'm speaking about the NFL when I say the league, I think they would prefer to just be hush hush. Floyd, you and I had talked about the issues with Adderall always being talked about now. And I found out something really interesting, that the NFL, they protect their players. So when a player fails his test, they don't have to say what drug they were using. So some theorists suggest that the reason why this Adderall thing seems to be so prevalent is that players are blaming the failed test on Adderall. But they're not required to say what it is. So it could have been anything. It could have been anabolic steroids. It could have been HGH. It could have been anything. But, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, this was prescribed for me because I have attention deficit disorder, and so that's why I have the Adderall. So that's something that I found that was very interesting. Generally speaking, the testing procedure are urine tests and Sherman from the Seahawks, he was one of the few players that got his case overturned because he said that the cup, there was something wrong with the cup. So basically the WADA, their big issues are that the testing is not clear enough or specific enough. They actually want these leagues to start doing blood work, and they're not. So as far as my opinion on it, you know, I don't think they should have to, but, you know, then again, I think that the drug should be legalized, so.
As far as the WDA is concerned, the word drug, the World Drug Administration, right? If I'm correct.
World Anti-Doping Agency.
Okay, all right. Well, as far as they're concerned, as far as their dominance over other leagues, the NBA, the NFL, I don't know, maybe even hockey, how would they enforce any rules? I mean, what if for them to shake their finger at these organizations and say you shouldn't be doing this? Well, what
that's
is
basically
punishment?
All they can do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that was my question. I'm like, well, how do you enforce anything? For all intents and purposes, if I'm the owner of the NFL or NBA or any of these other organizations, I could care less what the WDA would have to say. If you can't enforce anything, unless there's some kind of embargo on international fans or something that I don't know about. So other than them putting these organizations on blast, what can they do?
They can't really do too much, which is why you have the issues that you have. And but except they can continue to be a pest. And you have the National Anti-Doping Organization, which participates with the WADA. Then you have the ARP in the United States Anti-Doping Agency, and they also participate within the WADA. So you have, you know, obviously the professional leagues have to be compliant with all of these organizations. So that's why you have some legal issues happening, but really there's so many gray areas with this. And yeah, basically the WADA, they can't really do too much. The DEA within the United States government, our Drug Enforcement Administration, anabolic steroids are illegal. So that's a whole, you know, that is an illegal drug. It can be prescribed by doctors for legitimate medical purposes only. So obviously performance enhancement is not a legitimate medical purpose. So it wasn't until 1990 that you had the Anabolic Steroids Control Act. So all of this, if you think about in the big spectrum of sports, it's relatively new. The rules and the guidelines surrounding these illegal drugs or performance enhancement drug issues.
Let me pose this question not only to Holly, I know she watches a lot of NFL, but to the panel, so to speak. We talk about performance enhancing drugs, and it's a really hot topic in baseball because of the issue of the numbers, who should be in the Hall of Fame, who should be out. We know the NFL is a game of bigger, faster, stronger. As a fan, purely as a fan, looking at whether it's baseball, football, basketball, your favorite sport, how much of it is an issue for you as a fan watching guys who may or may not be using some type of performance-enhancing drug? Is it really that big an issue for you watching them? Because you look at guys in the NFL, 6'5", 240, they're running 4.35, you know, 300-pound linemen, moving like ballerinas. So just to everybody, not just Holly, as a fan, are you okay with the fact that there's probably a good chance in your favorite sport there are guys and gals using it? How much is the issue for you as a fan? Just kind of kick this around the panel.
I'll go first. Again, I'm conflicted. I think about, you know, players, particularly in the NFL, getting penalized for illegal hits and things like that. And I think about that level of testosterone that they already have out on the field, and how if they were taking steroids, that would just be intensified. I wonder, you know, how does that play into injuries and illegal hits and things like that? But on the flip side, I feel like, in general, I don't think your NFL fan really cares, because that's what you sign up for. If you love the NFL, you love seeing that level of intensity and violence, basically. And that's what people love about the NFL. So one of the issues that I have with it being illegal, as cited by these different organizations saying that it's you know, they try to say that the fans care and that the players owe it to the public to be clean. And I think that's true with some fans, and I think there's a lot of people that just really don't care, especially when it comes to the NFL. I think that people feel differently about the NFL because of the nature of the sport. If you mentioned baseball, and right now they are pretty much the poster child as far as the WADA is concerned, because they're being compliant, because they're the ones that are doing the blood testing. So if they were doing blood testing in the NFL or in the NBA, but I think particularly the NFL, can you imagine how many more players would be suspended for illegal PEDs? Because the urine tests are so easy to evade.
Yeah, speaking as a fan, it's very interesting how differently we take on the NFL versus MLB. In the NFL, it's almost kind of accepted, whereas in Major League Baseball, it's taboo. You know, as we said, in the NFL, we hear these players that are suspended for violation of the league's drug policy, and we're like, okay, you know, just let them hurry back after 4 weeks. So, in my mind, really, the big thing that you get from all of these things is, as Holly said, the quicker recovery time. And if that's what we want as fans, is to see the star players back on the field as soon as possible. And like in the MLB, if that's what we want as fans, is to see the star players be able to recover, you know, after a road game and then a flight, and then be able to play the next day and have them on the field, what's the problem?
I think that if we allow it, it's going to be a very slippery slope, and we're going to see things that we probably wouldn't see coming. I mean, I think the abuse of that rule would skyrocket if we allow all of our athletes that we know and love to just use PEDs without any type of restriction. I mean, there's been reports in the 80s of people using like gorilla testosterone and horse testosterone and stuff in order to get beefed up for some of these games. And then in the long run, if that abuse accelerates and it's unrestricted and nobody's taking a look at who's doing what, then early deaths are going to be a more visual issue. People that are going to have a reduced value of life after the game is done, it'll be repercussions that we won't see for years on down the line as a result of using these experimental drugs. At some point it might get to. So if I find out now that my favorite players are using it, then it's like, okay, well, I'm sure they're doing the stuff that's good enough to get by the censors or the dopers or the people that check it. And as long as they're relatively healthy and you don't get caught, then hey, you didn't get caught, then it didn't happen, right? Like a tree falls in the woods kind of thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if my favorite athletes are doping up. But I'm hoping they don't. I'm hoping that what I'm seeing is their real God-given natural ability, and that's what makes them amazing. But would I be surprised? Not even a little bit.
Trey, I would not be surprised either. And I think that, you know, everybody, at least we maybe kind of group everyone into this sort of pool, but I think a lot of people are always trying to stay one step ahead of, you know, getting caught. To your point, Trey, as far as the post-game issues, I also feel as though it's on the players themselves to determine what's best for them and to be willing to deal with whatever consequences come from that. If they choose to take certain things and put certain things into their body, it's on them. If they have health issues down the line, if they know the risk, and then they decide to go ahead with it, then I think that it's not the league's fault, it's the players' fault on that particular issue, because the players are ultimately responsible for what goes into their bodies, I think. But let's take a quick break. And when we get back, I do want to ask the roundtable, if you will, about the role that money plays in this. Let's come back to the money. So sit tight. We'll be right back here on the Section 357 show.
Coast to coast, 88 to 99. It's on fire tonight. Everything on my side is looking alright. It's the high power original B-boy traditional raw base material. Brooklyn individual, true brand imperial. You're hearing on your stereo, transcribed alive the most depth. Unless you sit back and listen, you ain't in no position to deal with my conditional. Mentally and physical strength is indivisible. Crews becoming pitiful. Speech be sign a typical downfall. Eventual, I'm not feeling you. Don't know what your label's telling you or what magic beans they selling you. I can't flow, you can't though. Example of a cat who just a modern day sample. Who be bitching out to A&R demand so you could collect your little petty cash advance. Oh, you knock me and sloppy, but not me. I'm I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T.
It was a jam, like I said, the party was shaking and the bottles was popping and the breakers was breaking and the moon came on to everybody know that.
I'm the injured. I'm hot to death. I'm foul. Plus I'm winning. You think I shot the ref? Rock a vest if you out of tone speaking. Cause I'm right there like nightmares. I catch them C's while they sleeping. I'm back. These rap cats is wild. Got them in the studio popping values. Remastering their album. I'm about to re-up and restructure the case. You stuck. You about to get rearranged and replaced. I got plans for this rap game. Put your head in the toilet and look, son. If you think my didn't change, my is out of your range. Rip you out of your frame. Cop your tape and the next day, cop an exchange. If you ain't rockin' raw, what you rockin' for? Without heat, y'all MCs ain't hot no more. So for you lame cats trying to put your hit out, try rocking back and forth. It might be easy to get your shit out.
It was a jam at the center and the party was shaking and the bottles was popping and the breakers was breaking and it won't be long to everybody know that B-Boys rock. God's the man to
win. I'm Jedi Master Mace Windu.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Section 357 show. We're here with good friend Holly Lowe Jones, and everybody, I would like to talk about the role money plays in this, because one of the more high profile cases as it relates to PEDs is Alex Rodriguez. And here's a guy who has lots of money, and he's going to fight, apparently, the league, the players' union, and take it as far as he can take it because he has the money to do so. We saw with earlier cases like a Ryan Braun in baseball was able to have some legal maneuverings and get around his case as well. But on the other side, when it comes to some of the sports that are individual sports, that are global sports, where guys may not have all of the money, what's your take on the role that money plays in being able to either evade the law or maybe even beat the law when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs?
I think that that is a huge part of this discussion. Obviously, again, like I said, players have different access to different things based on how much money they have or perhaps how much, you know, intellectual savvy they have. And I do want to say that I would never advocate unsafe performance-enhancing drugs being used without being under the guidance of a physician. So I don't think it should be a free-for-all for everybody. But so who is benefiting from the money in this conversation? You have the money issue with what can players have access to, but then you have the issues of the teams and the coaches and the owners, and everybody wants a winning team. And think how much money is at stake between marketing and advertising. People want to win. People want to see winners. The owners want the teams to win, et cetera, et cetera. You have performed. I think a lot of these guys go out and probably use these drugs because they're up for their contract is about to be up, and they want to get drafted by another team. So money comes into play in every aspect of this topic.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get down to the basis of all evil, I mean, it has to be money. Money's the only reason why people are taking PEDs. I think also outside of just the players looking out for themselves and continuing their contracts with their respective teams, I think there, if you follow a money trail, if you watch a lot of gangster movies and stuff like that, the one thing that you can always count on is if you follow the money trail, you follow the money long enough, you're going to come and meet somebody that shouldn't be involved when they are involved. And I do think that that's another reason why this PED thing is kind of like a big issue. Somebody has to be supplying all of this stuff. And I'm sure they don't want to be found out because that person probably has their fingers in every aspect of sports as well. Anytime you're dealing with a multi-million dollar business such as performance enhancing drugs, there's going to be somebody that doesn't want the ride to stop. And when you find out who that particular person is, it could ruffle some feathers. So, of course, I'm wearing my tinfoil hat, my little conspiracy theory hat. But I do think that there's a lot of truth to that. You know, you follow the money, you find out an answer you might not be ready to accept just yet. And I think the leagues know that.
I guess it's interesting to me because a lot of this stuff, you know, can be found in the pharmaceutical market. You know, some of these things aren't necessarily illegal. They're just against the rules of the sport. You know, certain steroids are used to help with certain illnesses and certain problems. Even HGH is used in a medical sense. So if that money wanted to be streamlined, it could happen. It's just that these various sports are trying to keep them out. And I'm not sure why, because I think maybe it's a cultural thing, but if you improve the overall performance of the sport, I mean, you know, back in baseball, chicks dig the long ball. The whole home run series with McGuire and Sosa and all that was great for baseball. The steroid era was great for baseball. But it's just a problem with these purist fans who just don't understand what Holly was saying about these performance-enhancing drugs. They're done right. Sure, they can be abused like any other drug can be abused. But if they're used right, they can just help. And that's what we want to see. We want to see bigger, stronger, faster players. It makes more money for the sport. But it's just a cultural thing, I think, that's keeping the sports back from taking in this revenue stream.
I totally agree with that. And it's fascinating because you have to ask yourself, where do these feelings, these very vehement feelings that the public seems to have about it being a violation of the spirit of sport or unfair? I mean, you guys would not believe the reactions that I get on Twitter when people click on my article and see that I'm advocating that performance enhancement drugs be legalized. It really, really angers people. And I think that says something about our culture. But really, if you think about it, who's to say that is so bad? Why doesn't athletes' integrity have to be jeopardized because they want to enhance their performance by taking something that's not necessarily dangerous to them? So, you know, the whole health risk thing, I don't buy that argument at all from the WADA or any of these other organizations, because NFL, football and the NFL in particular, is just extremely dangerous. But I think I read that, you know, players get injured. The injury rate in baseball is also extremely high. So, you know, is it a health risk issue? I really don't think so.
And when you open the doors up to this, when you're allowing something outside of what you are naturally brought into, what you naturally bring to the table, won't that spill into other areas of performing enhancing in the performing enhancing industry? Because I was just reading an article on Reddit a couple of days ago where they were able to recreate a muscle strand that's actually, you know, like 10 or 100 times stronger than a normal human being's muscle strand, and you're dealing with, you know, stuff with like what are those cells that recreate things really fast? Well, you're dealing with a lot of bioengineering in a sense. And when you get to the point, which will be in our very near future, within the next, you know, 15, 20 years, where this little muscle strand that's been recreated could seemingly be something that could be, you know, requested in the next 20 years. So where do you draw the line between stuff like that and PEDs? Where do you say, okay, this is no longer this individual that's performing this activity. It's whatever additive or add-on that they've brought to the game that's creating these spectacular plays and makes me want to watch TV. Where does that line become drawn?
Trey, I don't know if we ever will ever have a line, like a clear line ever again, just because of how rapidly things are moving and with how much faster technology seems to be moving ahead of, I guess, what you can test for or what you can try to regulate. So I don't know if we'll be able to keep all of the modern advances, you know, that we see in the world out of sports. Because you talk about the advancement in bioengineering. If, let's just say, for example, you have a kid who is 6 or 7 who is given some great advancement in the bioengineering world, to live a regular life. And then that kid goes on to play sports and is playing professional sports. Well, that kid has been the benefit, or I'm sorry, the benefactor of some of that same bioengineering. He just got it at a certain age where he wasn't playing the sport. He was just trying to live a normal life. So I don't know if we'll ever be able to keep that out of the game because of just how much it impacts or will impact our regular society. And by virtue of that, we'll start to see it take place and become more commonplace, rather, in some of the sports that we watch.
You know what that point that you made was, just Floyd? That was the poor little tainting scenario. That was somebody who seemingly suffered a handicap, but was allowed to have a benefit that allowed them to be a normal person and then use that to excel at a sport. And it's interesting, you know, you look at the situation of Ting Ting and him not being allowed to be in the Olympics and then allowed to be in the Olympics. And at the end of the day, even with that bioengineering, he was still a marginal athlete because even with legs, he still would have been a marginal athlete. So it's very interesting. It's almost a chicken and an egg scenario there.
But we're looking at something as simple as a prosthetic leg that got the okay. I mean, let's really flash forward, you know, 20, 30 years when you'll have, like, auto-correcting lenses in your eyes to give you 20/20 vision at the whole time. I mean, this may sound like it's Star Trek and Star Wars, but this is a very real reality. I mean, does that person become a pitcher now and he can see a whole lot better to throw, hit the sweet spot every single time? How is that fair to the kid in Nebraska who is throwing balls through a tire opening to maintain his level of accuracy? I mean, it's going to spill over to the point where it is going to be a completely different game if you have these additional enhanced performance activities, be it drugs or prosthetics, it's going to eventually get to the point where competition will be held between the cyborgs. I mean, of course, I'm overstating it, but think about it. That's a very real reality.
I think that's a great place to leave it, as the line between reality and, I guess, the future of reality, rather, between technology and what we were all born with will continue to get more blurred. Holly Lowe Jones, we always enjoy having you on the show. Thank you for spending some time with us to talk about PEDs. Let everyone know how they can get in contact with you on Twitter and elsewhere.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really enjoy talking with you and hearing all of your opinions. Love this topic. Could talk about it forever. Any of the listeners can find me on Twitter at Holly Lowe Jones, HollyLowe. J-O-N-E-S, and the same on everything else, Instagram, Facebook, my website. Come holler at me. I'll be sure to hit you back.
All right. Holly, as always, thank you for hanging out with us, and we will catch you in the very near future. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Last call for alcohol or something like it. Trey, what do you have, man? Last call for alcohol.
Man, brother, my last call goes to you. We have started off this season very, very well. We got the ball rolling, and I know there's a lot of work that you do and everything that what it takes to get these shows off the road. So my last call and my tip of the hat, I raise my drink to you. Thank you so much for making this show amazing and spectacular, brother.
I do it for the love, guys. You know me. I'm all about love. Never hate, always for the love. The last call for alcohol, what about you, man? What do you have?
Well, if we're doing last calls and tips of the hat and raising of glasses to the crew, my last call goes out to the unspoken member of the crew, my man JQ. Something that happened offline recently that you can see if you happen to follow me on Twitter, Sun_DRRF on Twitter. But he withheld the picture from the rest of y'all brothers for about a month. And once it was revealed, the reaction that I expected to happened. But shout out to JQ, both for making the picture, also for withholding it, and for whatever future work he may have coming up with the Section 357 show.
All right, guys, as always, my last call for alcohol or something like it does go out to our fans out there. Thank you all for hanging out with us and for allowing the Section 357 show to entertain and inform you. You can always find us on Twitter at Section 357. We have a blog, section357.wordpress.com, and you can subscribe to the show on Stitcher, on iTunes, as well as on Podomatic by doing a simple search for the Section 357 show. With that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.